Welcome to Technology and the Arts, a bi-weekly podcast exploring the connections between the worlds of technology and art. In this installment, we will discuss some interesting news, websites, and online resources we have come across recently, including foodtube.net, art inspired by spam subject lines, recreations of iconic photographs featuring senior citizens, and six things to be thankful for in technology. Plus, we'll take a look at Pandora's new classical music service and Google's upcoming online storage utility. We'll talk about all this and more just ahead on Technology and the Arts for Wednesday, December 5th, 2007. Now here are your hosts, Brian Kelly and John Lemazny.
Welcome to another edition of the Technology and the Arts podcast. As always, Technology and the Arts seeks to explore the connections between technology and art and to establish a forum for discussing the impact technology has made on the human creative process and on literature, music, and the visual and interactive arts.
And to let you know who we are, my name is Brian Kelly. I'm a journalist by trade, amateur songwriter, musician, and science and technology enthusiast living in central New Jersey.
And my name is John Lemazny. I'm a father, artist, student, musician, poet, and technologist living in New Jersey.
John and I are again recording this conversation via call recorder for Skype. I hope all of our listeners had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. John, how have you been? How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was fantastic, Ryan. How was yours?
Mine was excellent as well. What you been up to lately?
There's been a lot of things going on. One of the things that has happened recently is we had a workshop at Rider University where we essentially discussed the uses for office workers, students, instructors, in using the various tools that Google provides that are not its search engine, such as Google Docs and spreadsheets, which we use on a regular basis for our scripts. And I have basically moved all of my presentations to recently, as well as their scholarly research tools and their various work with libraries. They're just an amazing array of tools. I also was recently interviewed by the Rider News, which is the student paper at Rider University, on identity theft, specifically because one of the workshops that we give throughout the year for students is internet security workshops, where we essentially ask things like, how do you make a great password? And, for instance, ways that you can avoid phishing scams and ways that you can avoid being hacked. And so that was a great article. Thank you very much to the Rider News for that interview. I want to give a shout out to Jen Therin Caffiero and Joe Woodall, who have worked tirelessly to get our new Rider website out the door. And the plan is to have that out by the middle of December.
I took a look at the preview of the homepage. It looks nice.
I just wanted to say thanks to Jen and Joe for all their great work on the Rider website, and I think it'll be a smashing success, as was the last one that was launched. Great work, Jen and Joe. I wanted to announce that Faculty Development Days, which is our opportunity for faculty at Rider University to engage in development opportunities where they can learn about learning and teaching using various tools, not necessarily technology tools, but various toolkits to help their students to learn better, help themselves to teach better. Faculty Development Day at Rider University happens twice a year, once in the summer and once in the winter, and our upcoming January Faculty Development Days are really looking exciting. There's going to be a lot of topics, various topics, including Web 2.0, which I'll be involved in a couple presentations on those ideas. And I just recently got a great looking email from Pandora a couple of days ago, and they invited us all Pandora users, to come and celebrate being Pandora users in Philadelphia. If you're a Pandora user, you probably got the announcement. If you are not a Pandora user, you're probably out of luck. But if you're in the Philadelphia area and you are a Pandora user, we hope to see you tonight at the, what's it called?
It is at the Urban Saloon.
The Urban Saloon. Thank you, Brian. And I wanted to mention that Brian's going to talk about some Pandora news a bit more later. So how about you, Brian? What's going on with you?
Well, I just wanted to mention that PodCamp NYC 2.0 is going to be coming up on Friday, February 29th and Saturday, March 1st, 2008. And this year they are moving outside of Manhattan and into Brooklyn. It is going to be hosted by the Brooklyn Polytechnic University. And it should be fun, and I'm going to hope to get there this year. So I'll have some more information as that gets closer. So follow the link in the show notes for PodCamp New York City 2.0. Also, I wanted to update everybody on the cover of David Bowie's 5 Years that my friend Christian Beach recorded a while back, and featuring yours truly on organ. That song will be appearing on a 2-disc Bowie tribute album to be released by Main Man Records on Christmas Day. And again, there's a link in the show notes. You can follow that for more information about who else is on the album and how you can get your hands on it. Also, I saw They Might Be Giants at the Fillmore at the TLA in Philly on November 24th. And they were great, but I was also impressed by the opening act, Oppenheimer. They are a synth-based duo from Belfast that produces catchy, quirky 2 to 3 minute pop songs. And I really enjoyed their set and just wanted to spread the word about Oppenheimer here. So check out the link to their MySpace site in the show notes. Also, continuing my creative spell that I talked about in the last podcast, I've written yet another song, and that is now up on my MySpace music site, which you can find a link to in the show notes. So I'm trying to get that going again. And somehow I have to squeeze in some holiday shopping over the next few weeks. But that's about it on my end of things. John, anything related to technology and the arts you would like to talk about this week?
Absolutely. I found some things. I'm going to go from most recent to least recent. And of course, we're recording this a week ago. so these aren't the most up-to-date things on crumb.tumblr.com. One of the things I thought that was really funny that I found was there's an artist on Flickr who is doing paintings that are emphasizing personalized typography, and she's being inspired by subject lines from spam messages. So, for example, there is a painting that's in the show notes that says, "No girls laugh at me now, haha, I laugh at them," which, of course, is a lead into like a Viagra sort of a thing, or like an enhancement sort of a thing. Just, it's something so sort of creative and biting and, you know, socially critical about the work. I really hope you can go and check out the pieces that we link to in the show notes.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I also came across some stuff on, most of the stuff is actually from Boing Boing, one of my favorite blogs in the world. One thing I came across very recently going through some old RSS feeds for Boing Boing is a object made up of other objects. And in this case, it was a spider made up of scissors. And you can see the image, of course, but it's just amazing to see how somebody can envision something out of objects into other objects. And I have some affinity for this myself as a sculptor. This is something I really love to do, is take bones or take found objects and craft something else out of it so that it has more than one meaning. But this scissor spider is a really nice piece. In that same vein, one of the things that caught my eye was photographic recreations. There is a artist's troupe that is reenacting famous photos, such as South Vietnam's national police chief executing a prisoner, that famous photo where someone standing with their arm outstretched with a gun at the end of their arm, and moments later, of course, if you've ever seen the video, you see that that person is executed. This person takes photos like that, iconic imagery, and recreates it using senior citizens. So there's sort of all kinds of social commentary and sort of weird counterculture sort of ideas going on there. Google is going to be offering free storage.
Yay.
Which, for those of you who are already using Gmail, you may be familiar with the project called G Drive, which allows you to use Gmail's 4+ gigs or however many gigs it is now as a way to just store files. And it essentially acts as though it's a hard drive on your computer, but when you drag and drop something to it, it gets sent to Gmail. This is something much more straightforward and legitimate. It's a way that Google's going to present you with the ability to upload essentially gigabytes of data. And in that act, I imagine that they're going to put a lot of online storage services out of business because they're Google. So stay tuned for that. I wanted to mention the One Laptop Per Child project has finally gone ahead and allowed people to order using a buy one, get one scheme for $400. The final cost, of course, that they are intending for these laptops is $100 each. But until that happens, they need to do some ramping up. And they're at the stage now where they're offering two laptops for $400. And you get one laptop, and the other laptop, quote-unquote, supposedly, goes to a child in Africa or somewhere else. And the idea is that you're paying for both, and you're donating one of yours to this child. I think it's a great project, and if it nearly reaches its capacity for change, it will be a great success. One other funny photo that I found was a remix of a no smoking, no drinking, no cell phone sticker, the sort of thing that you would find, let's say, on the train. They modified the sticker to show the faces of the cast members from Full House. So that it said, no John Stamos, no, et cetera, et cetera. And,
although Bob Saget is funny.
Well, now
outside
he's funny.
Of Full House.
At the time, he wasn't funny.
Well, no, he was funny, but he just couldn't.
Regardless, these people don't want them on their train. John Stamos is having a great resurgence because of VR right now. So, he never really went away. He just keeps sort of shifting.
Yeah, I would rather see a No Punky Brewster sign.
Well, you can go find your own no smoking sign or whatever and put a no Punky Brewster sign up. But it's just the funny idea that's being influenced really by, we have sort of a remix culture right now where people expect that just because media exists as media is edited when it's released doesn't mean that it has to stay that way. And so when you find something, you now start to think about, well, how can I modify that to make it mine? Another really funny, sort of quirky thing that I found was a group called Dazine.com is advertising compact fluorescent lights that have been redesigned for aesthetic improvement. They felt that the compact fluorescents that we have that are shaped like a traditional light bulb are only shaped that way because the light bulb existed before that. But that tube of fluorescent gas can be shaped in any shape at all. And so they raised the question, why is it in the shape that it is? Because that's what it was before. And so they start to play with the shapes of compact fluorescents and make them less compact fluorescents and make some really amazing designs. So I could imagine, you know, at some point in the future, we'll have a compact fluorescent light or not a compact fluorescent, but a fluorescent light that essentially lays out a design on a wall. And it lights the entire room because it's all being lit up. But what it is really is an aesthetic purposed object. And finally, I wanted to mention there was a slideshow, a photojournalism piece about New York City manhole covers and, really emphasized the idea that the conditions of the workers who are making these manhole covers are dire. And if you watch the slideshow, you'll see people working with 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit molten steel and iron, walking around in bare feet, bare bodies, bare everything, essentially just waiting to trip or something so that somebody gets really, really hurt. And the fact that these New York City manhole covers are the reason that these people are being put in this situation, in order to save a few bucks over a foundry that might do it here, where people would be allowed to wear boots and, you know, cover themselves up and keep themselves separate from the molten, you know, steel, is really a question to be raised. You know, why are American companies trying to save money at the cost of possibly lives of foreign workers? In this case, these are Indian workers. So please go and take a look at the slideshow. It may raise your awareness, once again, of ways that Americans in our consumer culture and even industries like the sewer system and the energy companies, the way that they set up their conduit can endanger foreign workers really in unreasonable ways. And we need to look at how we can modify the rules for imported objects to maintain certain working conditions for the people who are making those objects. Because nobody should be exposed to lead, nobody should have their leg burnt off, and we can do better. Brian, how about you?
Well, as John mentioned earlier, Pandora is in the news, and that is because Pandora has added classical music, finally, to the Music Genome Project. And the Music Genome Project is the extensive music database that powers the internet radio service that Pandora provides. Quoting the CNET story, the addition is significant because Pandora is known for its ability to figure out what listeners like based on a musical genetic code for each song, and nowhere is a song's musical genetic code more relevant to figuring out what you like than in the complexities of classically composed music. Pandora Classical, as it's called, includes a collection of more than 10,000 recordings by more than 500 composers, spanning the Baroque, classical, romantic, modern, and contemporary classical music genres. In addition to stations based on one artist, listeners can choose to listen to one movement in a piece, and then build a station that recommends other similar music pieces by other artists. So, I remember when I went to the Pandora get-together in Princeton, when I caught up and spoke with Tim Westergren, Pandora's founder, that was a big thing among the users there, that Pandora did not have classical music, and he had mentioned that they were working on it, and it's nice to see that they have added it to the service. Next, I would like to talk about a University of Utah professor who says overly broad copyright laws have made the United States a nation of infringers. And he basically tried to tally how much he accumulates in copyright infringement during the course of an average day. And according to his estimates, he rings up $12.45 million in copyright liability each day. And that's not even taking part in peer-to-peer file sharing, which is, you know, what the recording industry and the movie industry are most concerned about. But John Turanian, this professor at the University of Utah, he's a law professor, published this paper, and he points out just how pervasive copyright has become in our lives. And he looks at things as checking an email that may include the full text of a news story that somebody came across. He talks about photographs that he may have taken in a public space, but there may have been a copyrighted work in the background, and then he's publishing the photo on his, you know, Flickr account or wherever, and now he is republishing this copyrighted work. And I mean, some of it may be a little bit extreme, but he's just pointing out the fact that it's very easy for us to infringe on copyrights, whether or not we're even aware of it. So it's an interesting read, so check that out. And since Thanksgiving has passed us by recently, Ars Technica published a post, 6 things to be thankful for in technology. And the first one they mention is the fact that digital rights management in online music is finally starting to die. So, that's always a good thing. obviously the iPhone made it to the list, and Web 2.0, just the phrase, I think, is what they're thankful for. I think it's just a nice, convenient way for describing a broad range of social networking and interactive websites. And, and also volunteerism. And they pointed to the open source software movement as the impetus for that development in technology. So check that out. And along with things to be thankful for, food is also a big part of Thanksgiving. And there are a couple of food-related items that deal with technology and the arts that I've come across. My girlfriend informed me about this article that was on Yahoo, and it was about a new cookbook being published that is pushing the limits of the way book publishing is normally done. Basically, Grant Ashatz, the acclaimed chef owner of Alinea, is writing a cookbook. And what he and his business partner have done is they produced a trailer for the book, and they've constructed this deal where the internet will be used to actually shape how the book is put together. People will be able to basically pre-purchase the book, and that will give them access to a website where they can contribute things to the actual piece that will be published. It's a little bit odd. So just read the article and you can see what's being done with that. On a simpler note, foodtube.net is a website that collects cooking videos from sites like YouTube and Google Video by recipe to give you a visual step-by-step instruction for preparing a meal. And John, I noticed that you had tumble-logged foodtube.net as well.
That's right. I really like the way that it's integrating video and recipe sharing, two things that I have done quite a bit separately on various sites on the internet. It's nice to see that you FoodTube is bringing that together now.
Yeah, and my girlfriend is a very adventurous person in the kitchen, so I think she's going to be very interested to check out FoodTube. Actually, I am too, because she's getting me into cooking now, so I think that's going to be pretty fun to check out. But now it's time for the Technology in the Arts events calendar. This is your Technology and the Arts events calendar. The Grove, a traveling installation by Los Angeles-based artist Sean Duffy, is at the Arcadia University Art Gallery in Glenside, Pennsylvania, now through December 20th, 2007. The Grove is a participatory project consisting of 18 matching variable speed turntables, each linked to 20 speakers suspended from the ceiling, a wood crate of vintage LPs by instrumental and vocal performers located at each turntable allows participants to change the sound environment interactively. With close to 400 speakers, the installation creates an immersive, orchestral canopy of evolving compositions. For more information about The Grove, visit the gallery's website at www.arcadia.edu/gallery or call 215-572-2131. Weather Report, Art and Climate Change is an exhibition presented in collaboration with Echo Arts and runs through December 21st, 2007 at the Boulder Museum of Contemporary Art in Boulder, Colorado. This exhibit partners the art and scientific communities to create a visual dialogue surrounding climate change, with artwork being shown in the museum and in partnering venues as well as in outdoor site-specific locations throughout Boulder that will activate personal and public change. For more information, visit the museum's website at www.bmoca.org or call 303-443-2122. Virtual Unreality is an interactive exhibition at the Exploratorium in San Francisco, California,
that brings together three digital artworks by internationally known artists that use game technology to explore the unreality of virtual landscapes. Virtual Unreality runs through January 7, 2008. For more information and exhibit hours, please visit www.exploratorium.edu or call 415-561-0363. And coming January 18th through 20th, 2008, is the annual Light and Winter Festival in Ithaca, New York, celebrating and exploring the connections between science and the arts. Lectures, exhibits, interactive workshops, and concerts take place throughout the weekend at multiple venues in the greater Ithaca area. For festival tickets and information, please visit www.lightinwinter.com. To stay informed about these and other events related to technology and the arts, please remember to check out the Technology and the Arts events page at techarts.wordpress.com. Well, it looks like we are just about at the end of another Technology and the Arts podcast. John, anything you'd like to share with the audience at this time?
Well, as always, I'd like to say to our listeners that if they have an idea for a story or know about a show or event related to technology or art, to let us know about it by emailing us at technology.arts@gmail.com. Also, feel free to send an email just to say hi. And you are always welcome to leave a comment on the Technology and the Arts blog at techarts.wordpress.com.
Well, that closes the curtain on another Technology and the Arts podcast. Stay tuned for more news and resources related to technology and the arts when we come back with our next show on Wednesday, December 19th, 2007. So until then, for Technology and the Arts, this is Brian Kelly.
And this is John Lemazny. Take care and happy holidays.
The views expressed by the hosts of Technology and the Arts are not necessarily those of guests of the program. Conversely, thoughts and opinions expressed by guests of Technology and the Arts are not necessarily shared by the hosts. For more information about the podcast you have just heard, please visit Technology and the Arts on the web at techarts.wordpress.com.